praise God. Thank you, Lord. We are continuing our series, Praise the Lord. I only got through the introduction last week. We're going to get you the introduction again so that no one loses out. And we're talking about I in Christ. You know that there is, as you spell the word, I was looking over this and I thought, oh, right in the word Christ, there's an I. And we're in him. We're in him. We are in him. Praise God. We are in Christ. And we're going to be talking about our identity in Christ. And sometimes it is that there are so many people that are struggling with their identity. Young people are struggling with their identity. And as they're young and they're growing up, they are still struggling with their identity. And I have to tell you that there are even believers that are struggling with their identity. They don't realize that it is an identity crisis. But we said earlier, our mission is that the love of God works. The love of God works in us, through us, and for us. And if we realize the extent of the love of God, and we realize who we are in Christ, we are in Christ. He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Praise God. We can show the first picture if we can. You notice that we were talking a little bit about anxieties. People go through all kinds of different anxieties and fear. And by the way, fear is not from God. Fear has torment. Anxiety, if I can say it like this, is really fear wrapped up in a package. But we have these, people go through anxious moments. And yes, because of their circumstances, because of some of the stuff they go through, maybe it's family difficulties, but we feel anxious. But then what happens is we try and control those anxieties and those fears, those anxieties on our own. And I have to tell you, Paul the Apostle said it best. He says, I can't do anything on my own. But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It is best. I'll tell you what. In every mess, I have said this before in messages, God works best in a mess. And you do not have to stay locked up in that fear, in that turmoil, in that mess. You just can surrender your all to Him. He is your all. We sang it. He can be your strength. We attempt to control, and in our attempt to control, we find ourselves losing control. And it's a vicious circle. There's an attempt to control again, and that whole attempt to control life, to control the patterns of life, to control our circumstances around us, it is a human thing to want to try and work it out. But I got to tell you, you can be in constant turmoil if you are continually wrapped up in that cycle. But when you come to the Lord, lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, the Bible says, acknowledge Him. I tell you what, I acknowledge the Lord in the simplest little things. This is not my message, and I'll get on a rabbit trail, but I got to tell you, even going through some of those bumpy roads that's on our road, some of these potholes, I'm so glad that those potholes are not made from bombs. You know what I mean. There are countries that they got creators. We don't have those kind of things. We've got weather patterns and things, and we've got man-made roads and things, and they're bound to fail. You'll see. But I go through sections of our road, and when I'm done, I do it so often, it just comes out of me. Thank you. Thank you. Because He helps me. I don't want to ruin the car. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I had a little change purse. I was telling folks about it yesterday. I didn't even tell my wife until yesterday. I had this little change purse that I in part of the little pockets is my ring I can't, if when I wash my hands and whatnot, I get rashes and stuff under them, so I don't wear my ring. It's not because I don't believe or I don't like my ring. I do like my ring, but I keep it. And I had that my ring in that little purse, and for some reason, I took it to Israel. I don't know why I would take it to Israel. I had emptied out all the change. Maybe I was thinking I'd put some shekels in it. I don't know what I was thinking. And I looked for that. I looked for that on our journey. I got home and I looked for it even more. There was a briefcase. I turned that briefcase upside down, inside out, unzipped every kind of zipper and every kind of thing that there was. And I tell you what, I had some anxious moments. Because I didn't want to tell my wife I lost my ring. I didn't. I didn't want to tell her. And I at least 4 or 5 times I emptied that thing right out. I looked in the car, I looked under in the console, I looked under the rugs, I looked in the glove compartment, I looked in my suitcase, I took my suitcase apart probably 5 times and unzippered everything. Do you know I could not find that thing? I had such an anxious moment. And on what day? Friday. I thought, I gotta look one more time. I gotta search one more time. I really don't want to tell my wife. Do you know, I found that little purse. And immediately I said, thank you, Lord. Because I asked them to help me find it. It was in my briefcase. The one that I had taken apart 4 or 5 times and unzippered everything. I'll tell you what, peace of God filled my heart. Oh, we can get ourselves in such a cycle. And we really do need to be filled with the peace of God. Do you know that when Israel was up against it, they were up against the Philistines, and Goliath was standing out in front and, send a man to fight me. Do you know that Israel had anxiety? That not even their leader, not even the king, had enough guts to go up against Goliath. They were locked down in fear. And this little, well, I won't say a little because I don't know how little he was. He was a young man. David's brother saw David as a shepherd, but God saw a king. Goliath saw a dog. God saw a warrior. Why don't we let God define who we are instead of letting other people define us? Understanding your identity and what you have in Christ is absolutely imperative for your success in this Christian life. You can show the next slide. It's really fascinating that every one of us have our own fingerprint. If they're all different. And like I said last Sunday, I'm so glad you don't look like me. I'm so glad that not everybody grows a beard. Although I'm glad I have one. And not everybody is losing it on top. I'm talking about hair. But you know, we all look different. Or in a rabbit trail, short story. A fellow come up to me in church one day. He says, Pastor Ron, he had been visiting another church. He says, Pastor Ron, you know you're going to hell. I said, really? He says, yes, you're going to hell. I said, oh, how come? He said, well, you have a beard. I says, well, okay. I said, when I get to heaven, I'm going to look like the rest of them. Just saying. I wasn't going to let that guy put me in this anxiety thing, you know, put me in fear. But I knew that we all have our identity, and it's unique. Everybody's fingerprint's different. God has made us that way. We are unique in Him. And yet, there are so many similarities of what we have in Him. See, Satan's been lying to us. His lie is, you're a sinner because you sin. Yet God says, you are a saint who sins but have been declared righteous. We've been declared righteous.
Bible says that while we were in our sin, Christ died for us. He saw something there. We're not perfect, but we are complete. We'll be talking more about that. Satan's lie says your identity comes from what you have done. But God says your identity comes from what I have done for you. Satan's lie says your identity comes from what people say about you. And the truth is, God says your identity comes from what the Lord says about you. Satan's lie says your behavior tells you what to believe about yourself. The truth is, God says your belief about yourself determines your behavior. See, we're in a war. It's a choice war. Show the next slide. Yeah, I know, it's a little bit like Star Wars. But there is a war going on. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, forces unseen in another realm which we don't see, but many times we feel, and we're not sure why we feel what we feel. Sometimes we lash out at our spouse or our friends simply because of stuff that we don't realize. We're in a war. Yes, we are. But do you also realize that you are in Christ Jesus? And what I want to show you today, that you are accepted. When you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you are accepted in Him. Huh. Turn to your neighbor and say, hey, you've been accepted by God. Yes, you have. Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Or let's come short of the standard of God. Nobody likes to come short. Nobody likes to be below a standard. Young people study so hard so that they can reach a standard of education. Some people work so hard to become a Christian and rise to a standard. But you know what? God has done so much for us. If we only realize what He has done for us, we have a wonderful treasure in these earthen vessels. We don't have to live for ourselves, but we can live for God. We don't even have to force what we believe on somebody else, but in peace. Because what happens is when we're filled with peace, there is a glow about you. And you know, you walk into a building, you don't realize this, but the presence of the Lord in you changes the atmosphere. And you go, what? How does that work? I've seen it over and over and over again. I could tell you stories and get you on another rabbit trail, but I want to keep on target. See, you and I are God's child. We're children, His children. John 1:12 says it like this. But to all who believed Him and accepted Him. That's John 1:12. To all who believed Him and accepted Him. It's one thing to believe Him. There are all kinds of people that believe. Listen, even the devils believe. But they don't accept. There is believing, but there also is accepting Him. When you come to Christ, you must acknowledge Him. It's not just enough to believe Him, but you accept Him. But to all who believed Him and accepted Him, He gave the right to become children of God. Okay, that's a good place to say praise the Lord. Woo, hallelujah. What a wonderful opportunity that we have to be children of God. We're His friend. John chapter 15, verse 15 says, I no longer call you slaves. I almost sang the song this morning. You haven't been born into slavery. You read the rest of the verse. with me. I no longer call you slaves because a master doesn't confide in slaves. Now you are my friends, since I have told you everything the Father told me. Jesus said it, my sheep know my voice. Wow, that's so big. How Almighty God desires to talk with us. That's relationship. This thing is not just coming to do church. This thing is about having a relationship. Wow. Praise the name of the Lord, our God. Thank you, Jesus. Children of God, not slaves, but friends. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. Ooh. Glory to Jesus. He tells us things. Romans chapter 5, verse 1, we've been justified. Therefore, since we have been made right, word justified means just as though we had never sinned. While we were in our sin, Christ provided sacrifice for us. Praise the Lord. Yes, he was. He provided everything possible for us to receive him and to become children of God. There isn't anything more he's going to do that's going to supply us with salvation. The only thing that we have to do is to accept him, believe him, and accept him. Praise God. Thank you for that. Amen. Glory to Jesus. This is so big. This is so big. Praise the Lord. Since we've been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, we find out that we are united with the Lord. But the person who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Have you considered the fact that you are joined with Almighty God? They're excited about that. Glory to Jesus. Praise God. This is exciting stuff, that when we realize we've been joined to him, we're not separate from him. We're joined to him. Glory to Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, we're bought with a price. Therefore, because we're bought with a price, we belong to him. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a price. You must honor God with your body. Now, if you don't mind, I'm going to use an illustration from Sharps, because I think that there is something to be said. I mean, when somebody brings something on their property, okay, and especially if they paid for it, they bought it, a wreck or no wreck, they own it, right? You go to the store, you buy your groceries, you own the groceries. Jesus paid the price for you. Have you considered the fact that he owns you? Well, I don't know if I like that, Pastor. Because then I have to do what he says. Well, yes. That's part of the deal. You believe him, and then you accept him as your personal Lord and Savior. Glory to God. Ever consider the fact how there is a verse in James that says, draw close to God and he will draw close to you. We think that while we're joined to God, it's no problem. He's just going to dump on me all his blessings and everything about it. I don't have any work to do. But yet the Bible says, draw close to God and he will draw close to you. How do you draw close to God?
How about spending time with him is one thing. I got to tell you, in every relationship that I know, you got to spend time with somebody in order to get to know them. And it's wonderful. You begin to know their voice, and you begin to know their habits, and you begin to know that God knows all about us. Praise God. He says, your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who lives in you. He's just not come to, you know, make us feel good. He's come to live in you. Praise God. You need to believe him and accept him. Praise the name of the Lord. And that makes us part of the body of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 12:27, it says, all of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. Thank you, Jesus. That's good news. Ephesians chapter 1 talks about saints. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ. Ephesians 6:18 says, praying always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto all the perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Have you considered yourself as a saint? You say, Pastor Ron, that's a stretch. You don't know. You don't know me. I mess up sometimes. I get that. But I also know how to stay in fellowship with one another and with God. The Bible says if we hate our brother, the Bible says the truth is not in us. But it also tells us that if we confess our sin, this is a word that was written to believers, by the way. And if you read the scripture, you'll find out just how human people were, especially the Corinthians. But in that portion, it says, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Cleanse us. That's why we confess our sin. That's why we go to, if we've wronged somebody, that's why we go to them. Because the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Thank you, Jesus. Well, to realize it, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 and 5 talks about adoption. Even before he made the world. Even before he made the world. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us. Can you imagine that? You have a hard time with what Jesus has done for you. But let me tell you this. This says even before the world began, he had you in mind. Thank you, Jesus. Ooh, that's big. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his sight. Do you see that? I can see you're excited about that one too. I mean, that's so big, to be seen by God without fault. Thank you, Jesus. When we realize what we have in Christ, that I used to say to people, yes, we need to know who we are in Christ. But I prefer to say it like this. We need to learn who Christ is in us. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. He sees us. He's chosen us to be holy and without blemish, without fault in his eyes. Praise God. Because of that, God decided in advance, this is not an afterthought. You are not an afterthought. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're not an afterthought. Thank you, Jesus. To bring us to himself through Jesus Christ in advance, to adopt us into his family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it what? Gave him great pleasure. Woof! Can you imagine that? God doing a little dance for you.
Bible says that he rejoices over us with singing. Can you imagine Almighty God singing over you? Thank you, Jesus. That gives us Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18. Now, all of us can come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done for us. Colossians chapter 1, 13. We've been redeemed and forgiven, for he has rescued us. He's my rescuer. Whoa, he's my rescuer. He has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sin. Praise God. That's how. You know, somebody says, well, I'm not perfect. Well, if you understand the word, one of the words for perfect in the New Testament is, it is perfect, but it means complete. Means wholeness. Praise God. Colossians 2:10 says, so you are also complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority. Regardless of what Justin Trudeau does, you are complete in him, in Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter what world leaders will do. You have acceptance in God. And you can live in peace that surpasses understanding, that can guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. That brings us to a next picture. I have news for you. The devil is defeated. And yeah, okay, there's some stuff that's going to happen in these last days. I get that. But don't you be living in turmoil and fear. You realize that you've been accepted, that you are a child of God, and that we read the end of the book and we win. The devil is already defeated. That's a news flash for you. That's breaking news. That's worth saying hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. That is worth saying thank you, Lord. Praise the name of the Lord our God. One of the hardest things about placing and keeping our identities in Christ has a lot to do with a spiritual disease that we all seem to fall prey to. Spiritual disease is called spiritual amnesia. The side effects of this disease cause us to chronically forget who we are, to chronically place our identities, our security, and even meaning in something else or someone else. And over again, God tells us who we are. And then we just straight up forget it and walk and live as if it's not so. James described this dilemma perfectly. James chapter 1, 23 and 24. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. Ouch. We all do it. We are all succumb to the pressures of life and to the stuff of life. We look into a mirror, and when we look into the mirror, we see Christ. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Don't be looking at your own stuff. All day long, at some point, you got to look and turn your attention to Jesus. He never fails you. He's done everything, like I said, he's going to do to make the provision for you to be in Christ. I am in Christ Jesus. He took my sin away. We used to sing it years ago. He took my sin away. Oh, it was nailed to the cross. Thank you, Jesus. He took upon himself. He carried that sin upon himself. We stood in that place called the place of the skull. I've always pictured it as being on a big hill. But I have to tell you, we discovered it wasn't on a great big hill. The place of the skull is a place that it's a, doesn't much look like a skull now because of the wind and the rain and the stuff over time. But the Romans used to crucify their victims where people could see in public places. Very different than I ever imagined. But I'll tell you this. When you look into the mirror, look for Jesus. Don't forget what you look like. I got to tell you, I have discovered that there is a cure for this spiritual amnesia. The devil's defeated. There is a cure for spiritual amnesia. I call it the four R's. Remember, remind, repent, repeat. Remember, remind, repent, repeat. Say it with me. Remember, remind, repent, repeat. Say it again. Remember, remind, repent, repeat. You need to continuously remind yourself. You've got to continuously remember the word of the Lord. Even Jesus, when he was tempted by the devil, he quoted the word of God. You need to quote the word of God. You need to remind yourself of what the word says. You need to repent of those things before him that you know that can affect your relationship. And then you need to repeat the process all over again. This isn't a once-time happening. Throughout the times that we are alive until Jesus comes, we will of necessity need to repeat this process. You're more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. You unravel me with your melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance.